of information is dangerous to the survival of the New World Order. This is Raylan Allen of RumorMillNews.com. You're on RumorMillNewsRadio.com, and we're talking with Pravda Seeker, one of our longtime Rumor Mill News reporters. While we were on break, I got some information from Tango Dog, who says D.L. Hewley, and I have no idea, I don't know this person, so I don't know how to pronounce his name, D.L. Hewley or Huffley. He's a black comedian, and he's doing comedy spin on news for CNN. So in other words, the mainstream media has already embraced your idea of putting Colbert and Daily in their newscasts. I mean, O'Reilly did it with Dennis, whatever his last name is, a man that I find not one bit funny at all. But they have still put him into the mix, trying to figure out how to, how to bring in probably more listeners. Pravda Seeker, your name is Pravda Seeker, Truth Seeker.
Yeah.
How does somebody become a truth seeker? I mean, we're talking about waking up enough people in this country to do something. How do people become truth seekers? How did you become one?
Well, it started back, it kind of started in my youth. I had a lot of unusual Forrest Gump type moments in my life up to, prior to the Vietnam War that kind of got me wondering about a lot of things. And one of them was I watched the, Cuban Missile Crisis from my backyard when I was just, 6 or 7 years old. And I was watching the ships that were, quarantining.
Where were you?
I was in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And that my father was in the military, a lifer in the Navy, and the place was vacant of men. They were all gone, and they were all out on the ships blockading Cuba. And I saw that going on. Then when that that ended, and then shortly thereafter, Kennedy was assassinated. I was still living in Puerto Rico, and I remember my mother and my father. Unfortunately, I'm kind of cursed with these very early memories. And I remember my mother and my father having a discussion, and my mom pleading with my dad to get the heck out of the military because there was another war coming. And that was the first time I heard Vietnam mentioned, and that was 1963. My mom was pleading with my dad to get out of the military because another war was coming, and she didn't want him to go off to another war. And my dad had retired, and we moved back to Arizona. But that was a part of it. And then when the Vietnam War came along, there was all the different people on the peace movement and all the different things that were said, and John Lennon and all these different type of folks. And I started wondering and looking and wondering just what was all was going on. And during that time, I was in the military myself and still wondering what was going on. And I got two books. One book was called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. That came out a long time ago in the early 70s. And then a book called The Rockefeller Files. And then when I read those and I researched the information that I was given in those two books, I realized that we had been lied to our entire lives, or my entire life up until that point, and we're still being lied to daily. And that was the beginnings of it. And it kept getting more and more and more. It's just, the more I started researching and I started realizing that we've been lied to all our entire lives, and it's like falling through the looking glass once you're taking the red pill in the Matrix. Once you realize it and you discern in your own logical mind that you've been lied to and all this stuff is just, a mask of what we believe in and what our society is and all this other stuff, it's a real tough thing to have happen. A lot of people can't deal with it.
I know people can't deal with it. Then we have to go back and we have to realize that for this century, the New World Order has written our history books.
Pretty much. It makes you one wonder that if the dadgum Federal Reserve did not actually happen, Woodrow Wilson did not succumb to the offer and the that he took on and signed the Federal Reserve Act, and it makes you wonder what would our world be like now? Would we have had World War One? Would we have had World War Two?
No, I don't think we would have. I think the New World Order had to destroy the German people,
of course,
the German-speaking people, and I think I don't really understand why the New World Order hates Germans the way they do. But this was, they took on the Austro-Hungarian Empire toward the late 1800s and broke up and murdered and destroyed so many of their citizens. And then in World War One and World War Two, it again was focused right on these people.
Right.
And I really think that it's bloodlines. I think that the bloodline of the New World Order wants to destroy another bloodline.
That's
the only thing that I can that I can think. That's why I say that these.
Well, this goes clear back to the Habsburgs, and if they wanted to create their one world order and stuff, and kind of goes back like the writings of Albert Pike in the late 1870s.
Everybody throws the Habsburgs in with the New World Order. The only Habsburg that was ever New World Order was Otto von Habsburg. He was placed there on the throne by the New World Order. He's not the legitimate Habsburg. Even the Kaiser that was before, who was Otto's father, wasn't the legitimate one. And this current Habsburg that they've got right now, we're not even sure that he's Otto von Habsburg's child. What you have to look at is who is on the thrones. What royals do they acknowledge? There's very few that they acknowledge. Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, oil rich.
Right.
Elizabeth and a few of the Swedish kings. But that goes to, I'm trying to think of the Swedish hero that was lost in World War II, helping all of the Jews out, and then his
Schindler.
No, not Schindler. The other one that Swedish diplomat.
I know which one you're referring to, but his name escapes me.
I know, me too.
Unfortunately,
but his niece was married to Kofi Annan, and so that family, that New World Order family, is just, in my opinion, is an example of the New World Order control in Sweden also. And of course, Sweden, if you take a look at it, is one of the first countries to experiment with complete socialism and lax laws and, allowing anybody to come into their country.
Yep, that is true. Well, you got to look at the two. You have London, that's the city of London. There's three places in the world that are kind of like political diplomats, no man's land and stuff, and that is, one's the city of London.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that we know of is the District of Columbia, which so many people think, it's District of Columbia's got a completely different constitution, everything. They're not part of the United States. And then the third one is the Vatican City.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at those three on a globe or on a map or something like that, they form a triangle. Well, how familiar are we with triangles? And
right.
You have one that is the monetary center for the world, the one that is a religious center for the world, and one that is considered the military arm of the world or the New World Order, and that's, the America and the Army that we've got here. So there's that factor to look at it all, too.
And then you have to wonder, when did the New World Order take over the Vatican? How long ago did they take over the Vatican? Did they take it over before all of, before Martin Luther and John Calvin and King Henry VIII split from the Vatican, or did they take it over before this?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
I know. So when people are questioning things, we've got to go all the way back. How far back
many
do we have to go?
Many things do have roots in the early part of history. That's true.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we were talking about dragons.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine and I were talking about dragons, and he showed me that dragons exist on the Lion's Gate of Babylon. the animals that were depicted on this gate were dragons, an ox, and a lion. Well, we know that the lion and the ox existed. What is this dragon thing that is there? Was there an animal upon the earth that was a dragon? And so these are the things that we're talking about. So anyway, what is it that makes, that turns somebody from an ordinary human being into a truth seeker?
It's a probably a life-changing moment. Sometimes it's something that affects them. I think what got me was losing a lot of my friends in Vietnam. They didn't come back. There's probably a couple of them. I think there's two of them that they never did find. They're still over there somewhere. And how their precious lives were snuffed out and stuff like that. And what was it all about? And what was it all for now that we look back on it? You know, a few years after it's all said and done, they all died for nothing. The communists took over, and then the Pol Pot and all this other death and destruction was came of, you know, what did it do, you know?
Isn't it incredible how people forget about the massacres that took place? The massacres, the tortures, the horrors that took place in Vietnam after the Americans left.
Oh, just look at Pol Pot, you know, the killing fields. You know, people relate to movies because that's the only thing they kind of relate to, but the killing fields just gives you a small glimmer of it all. Shows you a small picture of what, you know, took place. It doesn't give you the real thing of actually being there and going through it all and seeing the suffering and stuff that did go on.
What do you want to make a bet that the killing fields couldn't be made in today's climate? That's politically incorrect, you know.
Ah, of course.
You know, because those people, they're our friends. We signed all of these papers, you know, with them under Clinton. They're our friends. Yeah, so we couldn't make a movie about the killing fields and about all those people that were horribly, horribly tortured. I mean, it's not just murder. I mean, so what if you line up a bunch of people and shoot them? I'm talking about ones that have every tooth in their mouth pulled and then have pieces of bamboo hammered into where their teeth used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, just the most horribly grotesque things. And then they're hung up, you know, their arms are put behind their backs and a rope tied around their wrists, and they're hung up like that. Which means that they die in just the most horrible agony that anybody can ever imagine. And
yeah,
of course,
it is hard to believe that people can do that to another human being. It is.
I know. And for what purpose? For what purpose? I mean, I can understand if they were torturing him, trying to perfect mind control. I can understand that. But no, I can't understand what the North Vietnamese did to the South Vietnamese after they invaded. And of course, oh, it was just really a horrible thing over there at that Abu Ghraib prison. They made those poor, poor Muslims wear panties on their heads. Oh, how awful.
Yeah, I know. When you study the past and then some of the things that they make big issues out of today, it does kind of boggle the mind. It's like, what's going on, you know?
Well, you know, after looking at that Abu Ghraib thing for the longest time, and, you know, I blame the New York Times for getting us into this war. The New York Times, honestly, I swear to God, there is a Londinium agent. Londinium, yeah, that's my personal name for the city of London and these reptilian overlords that have this New World Order going on. But there was a paper, Judith, and I cannot remember what her last name is, but what she did with this Ahmed Chalabi person, she would use him as a source, and she would call up her friends in the CIA and says, well, my source out of Iraq says X, Y, and Z. And then this Ahmed Chalabi, who was her source, would call up his source in the CIA and said, well, you know, I say X, Y, and Z. And so the CIA and the, you know, she would compare notes with the CIA, and the CIA would say the same thing, X, Y, and Z. And so she would publish X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
One person giving intel to both sides.
Yep. Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying is we need to return to some real journalism that gives both sides of the story, that that isn't pushing some political agenda or New World Order mandate behind everything that they put out. And back to that television channel or station that we'd like to get going is a darn good idea. I think it would go over like gangbusters.
Boy, I think it is too. You know, Teresa at Surfing the Apocalypse is actually the person who came up with your idea. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with it, you know.
Well, it's not my idea. It's been stated before. You know, I don't.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Please don't take it as my idea. I know that.
Right. But it is such a great idea, and we only need, you know, a little bit of money to get this thing started. And, you know, unfortunately, we've discussed it on the radio now, and so one of these New World Order agents is going to come in and start doing, you know, they're going to take control of the opposition and become the controlled opposition, which is exactly what I feel happened to the 9/11 movement.
Sure.
You know, Pravda, you and I have been with Rumor Mill since long before 9/11.
Yep.
And the one thing that you and I can both testify to is almost every single thing that has come out in all of these videos that have been made is what we at Rumor Mill reported probably within the first few days.
Yeah, it's true that it took a while, that, you know, a lot of these things that we figured that we had deduced through logic. And,
through logic. That's all that it was. Through logic.
Now these things are coming out. You know, it's, I was at the point where I had studied this type of stuff beforehand that in 2000, prior to 9/11, in 2000 when Bush the second got elected the first time, I sat down and I told my, you know, I told my mom and dad, I was frustrated with seeing what was going on and knowing what was going on, so I decided to become more vocal about it. And I hit up my family on it, and I said, look, this is what's going to happen. Bush is going to get elected, but it's going to be by a very narrow margin. But after he gets elected, the Middle East is going to boil over, and then we're going to be in another war in the Middle East. And where it goes from there, I don't know, but it's going to be a long, protracted war. And that was the bombshell in 2000. That was just prior to me going to Russia for 3 weeks on my own. That, just the whole family just basically blew up, called me a communist, you know, why don't you move to China? Oh, you're crazy. It caused a great division between my entire family.
Yeah.
But when it came out to be the truth, well, then there was one person who kind of woke up and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, if he was such a crackpot and such a loony and so far off base and just totally off his rocker, why did what he tell us actually come true? So, you know, maybe he's not a crackpot. Maybe he does know what's going on. And so my mom would constantly, my stepmom, and I would sit up sometimes till the sun would come up, discussing certain things and what my opinion and stuff was. It took quite a few years. My dad passed away, and we never did have a reconciling. My dad was a lifetime in the military, and all that was going on was such a shock to him and his reality that he grew up with. My mom came around and woke up and was awake before she passed away. My one sister is still hiding in the sand, and then my other sister finally woke up when they came out with, you know, the eminent domain where they could, like, you know, take away your property from you. It doesn't matter, you know, we'll take it, you know.
Yeah, we're the peasants. We're just, I mean, we don't really own that property anyway. We're just, you know, squatting on the property.
Exactly, exactly.
The Lord, so, the manor.
Yep, it was, It's a tough road to hoe when you decide to become a truth seeker. It really is.
Yeah, I have. Well, let me tell you, I didn't become a truth seeker until I married Gunter. And 2 days after we married, he was arrested in front of my entire family, and everybody was told that he was nothing but a con man on a crime spree, marrying and defrauding wealthy widows. And not only that, it was published on the front page, con man arrested in Newman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my little hometown.
Right.
And you talk about having my reputation just absolutely smeared. You know, I'm the foolish, stupid old, you know, lady that fell for a con man. But I've known this con man as a naval officer, you know, for 13 years. How in the world could he be a con man? How in the world could we fly on a government Learjet from Seattle to Reno to get married? You know, and so it was like, oh, okay, the FBI, they're my friends. My dad worked with the FBI. The FBI, they're my friends. But the FBI is telling me I married a con man. And yep. I've known this con man for 13 years as a naval officer.
So that was your first taste of seeing how powerful these elements were and how fast they could strike a blow to knock down any kind of truth or anything that was coming out. You got a sense of just how well in place they are throughout our entire society.
Yeah, I'm surprised I really survived all of that, if you want to know the truth. I mean, it's a long story, you know, how I survived it all and came out on the other side a truth seeker. But, you know, I didn't wake up gradually like you and like many other people do. I was literally hit in the head with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, and of course, you know, a lot of the people at 9/11 were hit in the head with sledgehammers. And, but I don't know, I think we all went back to sleep after 9/11. I think the, you know, the huge horror of 9/11, and now, you know, we all say, well, we know it was an inside job, but who did it? Who were the insiders? Oh, well, let's just blame Bush. Bush is the one that did it all.
Oh, heavens, that, you know, unfortunately, that's also the product of a dumbed down nation who have been taught to just, you know, listen to what they tell you on the boob tube every evening and then take that as a fact. They do not think for themselves. They do not do their own research anymore. It's a dumbed down nation. If you look back on, 1950, eighth grade graduation test, and try to take that eighth grade graduation test, kind of like a final on several topics, you have a really hard time passing that test today.
Oh, but
it just shows you how less educated and, critical thinking is not taught anymore, in so many places in the school systems. The civics isn't taught anymore. How this nation was founded, how our three branches of our government work. That stuff's just been tossed out the window, so people don't have a clue, which is all part of the plan so that they can do what they want to do.
Well, you know, I was an ESL teacher, and one of the only reasons that I know anything about all about our government and the way it works, I mean, I sure didn't learn it in school, but I was the substitute teacher for the citizenship classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to teach the basic stuff about our Constitution.
Yep.
And, you know, it's amazing how well you learn stuff when you have to... In ESL, we call it languaging down. When you language it down so that somebody who only speaks maybe 100 words of English can understand it.
Yes.
And so I have actually written little tiny books about the 4th of July, about the Boston Tea Party, that people who only speak 100 words of English can understand and can understand why we fought our revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, because I had to do that, I had to study and, you know, find out what the real truth was. And of course you had to walk a very narrow line. Any teacher who is a conservative constitutionalist has to walk such a narrow line. You know, first of all, you got to pretend that you're a New World Order teacher to even get tenure.
But right, yeah. That's just to get in your foot in the door. That's true.
Absolutely. And after you've lied to them and made them think that you're exactly like they are, you know, and you've got tenure, then even afterwards, you've got to be so careful about the information that you're teaching in your class. And by God, you know, at one, if ever you say, oh, global warming is a hoax, everybody knows that, you'll probably lose your job. But you know, somebody can trash our Constitution and believe in gay marriage, they won't lose their jobs. Anyway, you can hear the music in the background, and I'm going to walk out this door one more time. So, folks, don't go away. You're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com. This is Raylan Allen, and I'm talking with Pravda Seeker, and we're trying to figure out what it takes to be a truth seeker and how we can wake up more truth seekers. We'll be back. This is Raylan Allen, and I'm talking with Pravda Seeker, which means truth seeker. We just call him Pravda for short. And we've been talking about how does somebody become a truth seeker. As I said, I became a truth seeker because I got knocked in the head with a sledgehammer when I married Gunter. And it was my love for Gunter that just kept, you know, keeping me on the straight and narrow, trying to figure out what in the world was going on. When Gunter first started, you know, Pravda, when Gunter first told me that the Federal Reserve was a private bank, I said, oh, you're crazy. What do you mean the Federal Reserve's a private bank? Everybody knows that that's our central bank. It's not a private bank. And he said, well, you know, it's going to take me so long to convince you of this that let me write an article. And that's when he wrote that article, The Short Road to Chaos and Destruction. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he was talking about. I mean, what's happening right now is exactly what he was talking about in that book. I mean, the Federal Reserve type of banking, and no controls on the out-of-control money system that we've got here in the United States. My God, even the mafia puts controls on their bookmaking. You know, if you screw around with a bookie and you don't pay your bills, you end up with cement shoes and you're gone.
Yep. Yeah, you get a visit by
people.
Yeah, you get a visit by Guido with the baseball bat.
Exactly, exactly. And so we need a few Guidos with the baseball bats to take these bankers out and let them start floating in the river. I can just sort of see that, you know, a whole bunch of bankers floating down the Hudson. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, hopefully they'll be in a boat on the way to jail. I wouldn't like to see them floating in the river, as a lot of people think, floating in the river as in Rasputin, but the nation's frustration is along those lines. I understand their frustration, that's for sure.
Yeah,
reason.
Right at the moment, I'd rather see them floating as Rasputin did. Hey, what do you think about at least giving out our telephone number and letting people call in?
Sure, go right ahead.
So, folks, we're going to open the lines now. If you've got some questions, it's 888-747-1968. So a nice big 747 full of phone calls are coming. And gosh, what in the world? I'm just trying to think. How in the world do we expand the audience that we've got? Now, I have to admit, Rumor Mill picked up 5 million hits last month. 5 million. You know, we had 19 million hits in October. A normal month for us is 14 million.
Right.
And so 5 million new people found us. Where did they come from? Now, they could have come from Pyrabang. because I started posting, you know, like a madwoman on Pyrabang about the 1st of October. Or maybe it was just the election that brought them all in. But somewhere, 5 million new hits showed up on Rumor Mill News.
And, you know, a lot of people are starting to wonder what's going on. There is a, you know, kind of like we keep hoping, you know, that 100th monkey, I still think he's right around the corner, that something's going to happen. We're going to have like a mass consciousness awakening. And, maybe this is part of the reason why they brought this 301st Combat Battalion back. Bush made the deal with Canada that we could use each other's troops for each other's national emergencies, whatever that means. Possibly throwing away the Posse Comitatus laws. Who knows what these bad guys got planned for us? You know, who knows? All I know is that we're living in the most dangerous time this nation has ever faced, and most people don't have a clue that those times are as treacherous as they are.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
But how do we do this? People need to get active. They need to send a link to their email friends and say, hey, look, check this out. You know, don't sit back and, oh, well, okay, that's interesting. I don't want to tell my friend about it because they'll think I'm goofy. Well, go ahead. Let them think you're goofy. Email them. Send them links. Let people know that they need to start. You want to know what's going on? Well, go ahead and spend a little time and research a lot of these alternative news sites. And there's I think of Rumor Mill, I think of Surfing the Apocalypse, I think of Rents, I think of Blacklisted News, I think of Prison Planet, these type of websites where they actually try to give you an alternative view in the news and let people know the other side of the story. They need to get this information out there to all of their friends and stuff, and hopefully they will wake up and pass the information on, and hopefully we can achieve that 100th monkey before it's too late.
Yeah, we at Rumor Mill have been waiting for the 100th monkey for years and years and years and years, you know, talking about it, you know, praying for it, et cetera, hoping that, you know, that the 100th monkey will eventually show up for us. And I don't know, it's happening. It is happening. It's not happening as fast as you and I would like to happen.
Exactly.
But, it most definitely is happening.
That's correct. And it just needs to get going. As the world situation deteriorates, the economy deteriorates, a year from now, it'll be interesting to see just how debilitated our nation is. And a year from now, it could be a completely different world that we're talking about. Heck, just a few months from now, it could be a completely different world, different reality that we're dealing with than what we are today.
Yeah. We've got Milo in Alabama on the line. How about let's taking a call from Milo?
Sure, you bet.
Hello, Milo. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, we're just fine.
This is my very first time listening to your program. So I'd like to take you away from stuff for just a minute, if you don't mind.
We can't hear you.
You consider yourself atheist, and so do I. But the difference between you and I would be that you are apparently of the Caucasian persuasion, and I am a black man. The question that I want to know, I've heard so much about that they say that people consider themselves patriots are usually racist. And I was wondering if this is true.
Well, I don't consider myself a racist. Do you consider yourself a racist?
No, not at all. In fact, one of my best friends at work is a black man. I have nothing against Obama being president or anything like that. Gosh, I'm not a racist. I know that some people are. You know,
the trouble is, if you criticize a black man or if you criticize a Jew, you're called a racist or you're called an anti-Semite. And so it makes people become politically correct and not want to criticize any blacks or any Jews. So what would you do, sir?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking, because, you know, the way I see it, I don't consider myself an African American. I consider myself a black American. You know, I don't understand people call themselves, you know, Italian American or whatever. If you're an American, just an American. And we all should be working toward trying to better the country. It's just the way that I see it.
You know, I agree completely. Many years ago, about 25, 30 years ago, friends of mine and I ran across photographs that were thrown out by the city of Los Angeles, thrown into a dumpster. Those photographs were of black L.A. in the 20s, in you know, from maybe about 1900 to 1920, or probably all the way up till 1950, where the black community in L.A., they had their own fire department, they had their own police department, they had their own insurance companies. They were like a separate country in the middle of Los Angeles. Well, then L.A. wanted to build downtown L.A. with skyscrapers and stuff. So they just condemned the black neighborhood. They shut up everybody that wanted to say anything at all about it. I mean, we literally even had our lives threatened at the time that we were trying to expose all of this. And how do we fight people with money?
It happened in Tulsa too, Raylan. It happened in Tulsa in the 20s. There was a what they called a Black Wall Street there in Tulsa, and they had some horrible riots in Tulsa in the early 20s. It was just awful.
Are you at all familiar with the Mosaic Templars that started in Little Rock, Arkansas?
No, that doesn't ring familiar.
It was one of the original black fraternal organizations, and I don't know why they called themselves Mosaic Templars, you know, Templars of the Line of Moses.
I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, I've just recently bought the book, and I'm trying to track down anybody that knows anything about Mosaic Templars, because I want to do a show on these men. And they were former slaves that formed the first black fraternal organization. And just like the Masons, they were all about lifting up black people.
Mm-hmm.
So that a society that was just as rich as white society could be created. And in my opinion, sir, what has happened is the New World Order has to keep us divided. And the best way to keep us divided is to make you and me hate each other.
Absolutely.
And well, of course, on the other side now, you know, I was reading some blog by a liberal, and, you know, he's saying, wow, this is the best time ever for black men. We can go out and get all the white women to marry us that we wanted to, you know, because of Obama and his mother marrying a black man. And so it's like, I don't know, I just really feel sorry for this country at the moment, because I see blacks and whites being pit against each other. I also see blacks being pit against Hispanics and Asians.
Well, this gentleman from Arkansas, I believe it was Little Rock, is right on track of what he's trying to bring out. It's like, we need to consider ourselves Americans first.
Absolutely.
Not our ethnic background. We are Americans. We need to go back to what our country was founded in and founded upon. And we are Americans. We need to support one another. We need to think as Americans, as a nation, and get rid of this doggone divide and conquer that is so prevalent, and it's very successful. We've got to get rid of divide and conquer, and we've got to start looking out for neighbors. We've got to start looking out for the other type of folks that live on the other side of the tracks, or whatever they happen to have in their type of town that's leftovers from the oppressive days when things were really racist in our nation. And we've all got to start working together. We've got to throw away our religious differences, our doctrinal differences. If we want to survive as a nation, we've got to come together and take back our nation from the people that are running it into the dirt.
I agree totally.
Absolutely. How do we accomplish this? How do we keep the Lords of Londinium, as I call them, from dividing this country, from starting Civil War II?
Well, you know, the truth is, now that, you know, now that I know the truth and I listen to you, you folks starting that process. You know, you're telling us what the government is trying to do to us and is accomplishing, as a matter of fact. And, you know, we just need to band together as Americans and do thing about it. Well, listen, I am so glad that I found you, and I finally got the truth about the situation. You have gained loyal listener.
You know, I want to tell you that we've got a number of black agents on Rumor Mill News. And
oh, really?
You're never going to know who they are because we don't advertise the color of our skin, the color of our religion, et cetera, et cetera. And so when you're reading Rumor Mill News, I dare you to try to figure out who are the people who have black skin and who are the people who have white skin that are writing over there.
Yeah, who are those that live an alternative lifestyle or are gay or whatever? Yeah, we've got a pretty good mix.
Yeah, that's right. We've got gays, we've got Japanese, we've got Thai, we've got people from all around the world. And the one thing that all of us are united about is defeating this new world order.
Well, I am so happy that I found you both.
Okay, well, you tune in to RumorMillNewsRadio.com and also tune in to RumorMillNews.com. And we actually have a place for readers to post. Right at the moment, it's called The Reading Room, but just as soon as we get the new webpage done, it's going to be called Common Grounds Independent Media, CGImedia.info. And people just like you are going to be able to become citizen reporters and report on CGImedia.info.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Have a good one.
Thank you. And we've got that line open up again. It's 888-747-1968. And if you've got a question or a comment, call in. See how wonderful, see the wonderful directions that callers can take, that callers can take this. I am so glad that this was a genuine caller, because you know as well as I do, Pravda, that the New World Order and the CIA, and when I call it CIA, there is really only one intel agency, MI6, Mossad, the CIA. They all work for the City of London.
Right.
And so there's only one intel agency. And they've got people, you know, sitting at desks, monitoring all of these talk shows, so that the minute someone like you or me comes on the air, they've got this expert, and they call up and say, well, I'm an expert in, this and that and this and that, and I can tell you, little girl, that you don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I used to teach at Princeton, and I've got PhDs, and you're just an ignorant little whatever.
Peasant,
yeah. But our audiences are getting more mature these days. Because I had someone call in and say that she can pick out, or she didn't call in, she sent me an email and said that she can pick out a plant because they're talking down to everybody. And I thought to myself, that makes a lot of sense. You get a caller talking down to the host or talking down to the audience, and guess what? You've got either a paid New World Order operative, or you've got somebody that wants to be in the winners club, and they think the winners are the New World Order, and so they're just parroting every single thing the New World Order.
Or they come in as a plant to inject divide and conquer, the thing that's been so successful since the Garden of Eden times.
Divide
and conquer. It works. It's so successful.
Yeah, exactly.
What's good about this is that the gentleman in Arkansas that called us, he's got critical thinking going, and that's what we also need to have people do. Not only do we need to band together, but we need to do some critical thinking. Think for ourselves. Don't let the other people think for you.
That's right. And then we need to band together, and we need to wake up more people. I was telling our listeners yesterday that I used to put out a newsletter called The Awakening Times, and our slogan was Join the A-Team. Each one awakens one. And that's all that it takes. Just think about it.
Yeah.
If this man says to his sister, hey, listen to this show. They're just like us. And, you know, I've got a number of people who don't mind saying they're black who are going to be my guests fairly soon. And if each person awakens one, we can wake up. We can come out of this fairy sleep that the New World Order has put us into as a result, first of radio, then of television, Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're brainwashed.
That's right. We've got to keep it going, got to keep the truth movement going, got to educate our friends and family, and hopefully they'll pass it on. And as they get more frustrated and they see the quagmire that we keep descending into, I think we'll see an exponential awakening happen. We can hope and pray for that anyway.
And this is what we're talking about, is the 100th monkey.
Exactly.
People don't know what the 100th monkey is. There was a experiment that took place on an island, and they were watching monkeys, and one monkey washed a sweet potato before he ate it. And they'd never washed their sweet potatoes before they ate it. And then suddenly another monkey washed it. And then suddenly another monkey washed it. And as the story goes, and unfortunately I have found out that this is just a story, it didn't really happen, but as the story goes, not only did all the monkeys on this one island suddenly start washing their sweet potatoes, but the monkeys on the other islands started washing their sweet potatoes, too. So whoever really wrote the story and told it to Ken Kesey, who published it, whoever really came up with this story, he wasn't talking about monkeys on an island washing sweet potatoes. He was talking about you and me, you know, writing our articles, trying to wake people up.
It's true, and it'll still work, especially when you consider the medium of the Internet that we have nowadays to spread the truth and stuff, that the 100th monkey thing could actually happen.
Yes, I definitely agree. Well, we're getting close to the end of our hour, and I probably should just turn it over to you, because you've probably got 10,000 things that you wanted to say, and I've been jabbering away. So
well,
what haven't you had a chance to say?
Well, there was many things that decided that I decided to become a truth seeker, and things that enforced me all through my life was seeing a UFO when I was small and then hearing all the stuff that's come out of against UFOs. And I saw a UFO in a situation in a scenario that there was no other explanation for it, completely innocent. Bigfoot, things that happened with Bigfoot in the early 70s, and then the very next day they're corroborated in news stories that came out in our local newspaper. Remote viewing, I remote viewed in Las Vegas under a controlled experiment. I was the only one in a crowd of about 300, and I went there as a reporter for Rumor Mill News, be honest with you, very skeptical view to it, you know, like, oh, is this stuff real or not? And I went there and said, well, I'll go there with an open mind. And I wound up, they had an exercise during the conference there and stuff. And good grief, I wound up being the one who actually hit it right on the head. All the cameras in the place were pointing at me. The guy wanted to film me afterwards. So many of these things that the mainstream news media or the world debunks and stuff like that, I've had these Forrest Gump moments with and experiences with that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that they're real. I know that it's real. I know UFOs are real. I know that remote viewing is real, but can be done. These are the things, my own personal life experiences that can only be explained in logically one way. They have reinforced my beliefs, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these things are real. So those are the type of life experiences that just kept shoving me and shoving me and shoving me more towards being a truth seeker. And I don't know how else to explain it. That's these type of life experiences of what caused me to be a truth seeker. Now, there's no returning now.
Yeah, I understand. Once you make this commitment, there's absolutely no return. No return.
That's right.
And so folks, if you're out there and you're getting ready to become a truth seeker, you have to realize that setting a foot in our world means that you may lose your wife, you may lose your husband, you may lose your kids, you may lose your parents, not through death, but because they're going to think you're crazy.
That's right.
And Lord knows, I hate to say it, but one of the things that I worried about when I was married to Gunter is the fact that my family might commit me. And, you know, that is something that people have to worry about. And
well, the Psychiatric Association has already come out with a disease that categorizes us as called societal anxiety is the disease, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it is quite something. Well, what else do you want to warn truth seekers about before they set foot on this path, and join us over at cgimedia.info and become their own truth seekers.
Just so that you know what's going on in the world, so you can fully understand. You need to study your history so you can understand what's going on in the world today. Be prepared. You will experience loss of friendships, loss of contact with some family members. It can even affect you in your job, depending on how vocal you are at work. At work is the only place we have to spread.
Oh, my God, that's absolutely true. You say the wrong things at work, you're going to get fired. You know, one of the things that I was going to ask you about that county that wanted to sell themselves out to the corporation, and we never even got to your county. And now I've got to say goodbye to you, Pravda, because
okay.
Our 2 hours are over. Tune in and listen, because we're having some trouble with Chris Perillo or Eric Nordstrom, and so I may be doing the next hour alone. So, all of you guys listening out there, you're going to have to call in and give my throat a little bit of a rest. This is Raylan at RumorMillNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to us on the MicroEffect.com radio network, and you tune in. I'm not sure who's going to be here when we get back, though. Maybe me, may not be. See you soon, though.